one of those studies tonight that we typically have strong ideas and about, but sometimes putting those ideas and thoughts into words that make sense to anybody can tend to be another story. That's just society. You know, that's a term that we hear, or a phrase that we hear many times when we talk to people in the world. And when we try to stand up for what God would have us to do and present those ideas or those opposing ideas to people out in the world, many times we're met with this phrase right here. That's just society. And they say that as if we're just supposed to accept that. We're to accept that idea that society is the way society is, and we need to conform to that, and we need to accept that that's the way things are, and we should just move on. But you know, I don't think that's what God expected of us. And I think as we study tonight, we're going to see that no matter what society is or what society does, we're in no way supposed to go along with those things. Things that Christians object to in their lives, many times they're deemed as just being society. And that's just the way things are. We're led to believe that if society practices it, we shouldn't stand against it. You might be told you need a reality check if you oppose any of these things. Is that what we believe? That we need a check on reality and we need to understand what reality is that these things exist in this world. We're surprised that people generally know right from wrong, but yet don't actively make the decision to do what's right. That's a surprise to us. And this attitude contributes to the decay in morals. And as we study, we see that God has expectations of us. No matter what's going on in this world, no matter what people accept in this world, God has expectations of us. The idea that society can dictate our morals is flawed. And as we consider this idea further, we see that it will not hold true if we look at what it really would mean in practice. You know, I recall last week, I believe it was, when Matt gave his lesson and he talked about homosexuality, and that's a really hot topic right now, homosexuality. How we're supposed to accept these things, and that's hard for us to stomach, isn't it? That we're just supposed to accept that. And Matt went on to say that, you know, most likely we're going to see that homosexual marriage will be accepted in all 50 states here shortly. And you know, sometimes the easy answer is the right one. And I believe what Matt said last week, that may be the case, but that doesn't mean we have to accept it. And maybe that doesn't mean a lot at different times, but it struck me at the time that, you know, he's right. We don't have to accept it. And we don't accept other forms of marriage that aren't according to God's will. If you think of it, you may not have heard the term, we have what people in some societies consider to be open marriages. And in these so-called open marriages, each of those individuals are allowed to go outside that marriage to fulfill their worldly lust. Do we accept that as a marriage according to what God has taught us? What about polygamy? People take on multiple wives or multiple husbands in these situations where they live in multiples. That's something that's been around for a long time, and so has this idea of open marriages. Is that something that we accept? We don't accept that, do we? And so as I thought about that, I thought, well, how come there's so much anxiety within us when it comes to homosexual marriage? We know there's things out there. Is it any surprise to any of us that the world is worldly? We know the world is worldly. We know things that go on in the world that we don't agree with. Why is there so much anxiety over this? And my conclusion is, it's because we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And when you think of that point, what is it that we should do? What would God have us to do in this situation? What would he have us to do? He's given us everything we need to know. We stand up here and we hold this book up and we say, there it is. That's the answer to any problem we can have in this world. So what is the answer? I think the answer is, God never expected us to fix the world. At no point did he tell us, here's all the problems in the world, it's your job to fix them. He never told us that. But we take it on ourselves to think that we have to, when that's never what we've been taught. So what should we do? If we're not going to fix these problems, what do we do in this situation? I think the answer is, and we'll find it as we go on through the scripture, is we take care of our families. We take care of those that are close to us. And we take as many people as we can to Christ and save them from these things. In Romans 1 and verse 29, we're going to read here a long, lengthy list of all of these different things that God never expects us to fix. In Romans 1 and verse 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There's a lot of things there, isn't there? There's a lot of things that we would never want to be a part of. At what point did he say, we're supposed to fix this right here? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out and fix these things and make sure that they don't happen anymore. It's not in that passage, is it? In Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21, seem to have missed that one. I've got it here. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We see there are all of these things that we think about and we have so much anxiety over that we know are in the world. He's taught us, don't be a part of those things. Those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do we want to be a part of those people? You know, we don't say those people because we think we're better than them. We say those people because we don't want to become a part of that. We don't want to give in to what society is, because that is society. That is a picture of society, if you get right down to it. Those are the things that happen in society. And he's telling us to come out from those things. You decided that you wanted to have a new life. Have a new life. Don't be a part of those things. And we'll see that some people come out of those things just to get dragged right back in. What's interesting is when we consider that society is just society and we shouldn't object to it. The idea is out there that we shouldn't object to these things. They happen. Move on. Accept it. And as we read these list, we see some things that are widely objected to and some that are openly practiced. Everything in these lists are practiced and a part of society. We have people killing. We have people stealing. We're seeing a great increase in white-collar crime. We have spousal abuse. We have torture. We have child abuse. These things are terrible. When we think about those things, you don't see anybody saying, well, that's just a part of society. You need to accept it, do you? See, we tend to pick and choose from those lists which ones are okay and which ones are not. And it's different for each individual as to which one of those things will start to turn your stomach and you may stand up and object to them. Everybody's going to draw a line somewhere. Where's the line going to be drawn? God said that the line is drawn on all of them. There's the line. And that's what we need to understand. It doesn't matter where society draws those lines. We go with the lines that God gives us, not what's practiced in the world. All of these things are a part of society, in fact. Will anyone make the claim that that's just society when it comes to these things such as child abuse and all of these such things? We would never dream or think that anybody would do that. Or further, that it's just part of society and we should have no expectation for people to stop doing those things. We have laws against those things, don't we? And when you look at the idea that society is just society and people that want something different need a reality check, we see how ridiculous that is. Because when that line is finally drawn and somebody tells you, you need a reality check, that doesn't set too well, does it? The reality is all of these things are forbidden by God. And there's a reason for it. Because they're destructive to your life. They're destructive to the ones around you. There's a reason why he didn't feel like we should be a part of these things. Unfortunately, more times than not, when you hear this statement, it's because someone's trying to justify something in their life. Many, many times when you see that done, that's the case. But don't be fooled. God has expectations of us, and he doesn't buy into this idea that society is just society and we should go along with it because of that. In 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 9, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." We have examples of societies, whole societies right here in this example. And they all felt that no one should resist their ideas or things they chose to practice. But God gave them all a reality check, didn't he? He cast some into hell and darkness. He choked some through drowning in the flood. And he turned entire cities into ash. Do you think for a second after reading that passage right there that as that society chose to participate in certain behaviors that it suddenly became okay to God? It wasn't okay to God. He turned an entire city to ash for the things that they did, for the choices that they made, for society just being society, an entire city. Yet we think somehow that we're more enlightened these days and we're smarter than any of these other people. We're just above these things and they could never happen to us. That's not what God had in mind. And he's told us that he has higher expectations of that. And we need to live our lives with higher expectations than that. These things happen to these societies all because they were just being society. You know, as we studied earlier, socially this statement doesn't make sense. And now more importantly, we know that God doesn't accept the idea either. Being Christians, we know God has expectations of us, and what society thinks of that means nothing to God. It means nothing to him that people oppose him. He expects us to follow him. And he expects us to make the right decisions. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 19, it says, "While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." You know, we've been freed from sin through Christ. And now society offers the promise of liberation from restraining ourselves from those things. Free yourself from the bondage of Christ. When you think about it, this doesn't even make sense. Put all those religious ideas behind you. That's just holding you back for what you could be. You could be so much more if you didn't have all that backwards thinking that you're going to follow God and all these different things. And what are they offering to you? Think about what they are offering. All the sins of this world. And what do we know about the sins of this world? They all have devastating consequences. That's why God doesn't want us to be a part of those things. But because there are consequences associated with every one of them. We have to resist that. We have to recognize that for what it is. It's an attempt for them to rid themselves of religion, because religion is very inconvenient when you're trying to live your life the way you want to live it. When you're trying to live your life by something other than for God. When you're trying to live your life for self and not for something bigger. In 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Does that sound like society is just society and we're supposed to just go along with it? And that God's okay with that? No. It tells us just the opposite. That all of these things are of the world and we're supposed to be out of the world. That's what he's telling us. That's just society right there. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is society. That's the world. And that's what he wanted us to avoid and to keep ourselves from. You follow society, and the love of the Father is not in you. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are we yet convinced that allowing society to dictate our morals isn't in our best interest or in the interest of God? When we look at these things, and we see them over and over, I don't have all of them in this lesson tonight. I'm sure many of them are coming to your mind right now. There are many others that would lead us to believe that what God wants is what's best for us. It has our own best interest in mind, and that's what he expects of us. In John 12, in verse 42, it says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." That's interesting, isn't it? You know, people that buy into this idea that society is society and we should go along with that and we shouldn't oppose things, we should just go along and get along. What are we seeking when we do that? The praises of men. Because the praises of men get heaped on us when we have these ideas and we accept the ideas and they tell us how open-minded we are when we accept those things. But that's not what God would have from us. They allowed the world to keep them from God, and they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That tells us to come out of the world. Just what he told us. You want to accept Christ? You want to be baptized? What do we do when we're baptized? We put a death to that old man. We're risen to live a new life. A life outside of that world. We don't just turn around and go back into that world because that's what the world is doing. That doesn't make it okay. He has that expectation of us that we'll live a new life. In 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us all from all sin." Be not conformed to this world or society. Where's the sacrifice if society dictates what we do? How is that a sacrifice on our part at all if we just go along with what's easy? There's no sacrifice there. We sacrifice in that we do what God wants us to do. We strive to do his will. We live our lives by what he would have us to do. Something bigger than self. If we want fellowship with him, we know where to find it. But when society dictates what we be outside that light, then we would no longer have fellowship with him. When our light shines, people convict themselves in their own hearts. You know, we sit up here and we speak that we're supposed to be a light in our community. We're supposed to be an example. Why do we need to be an example if people aren't going to follow what Christ would have them to do? Because when they see us doing the right thing, that can also become something that convicts them in their own hearts and causes them to make some sort of change that hopefully can lead them to Christ. based on the example that we set. If we conform, if we become part of society, we can't do that, can we? We can't set an example when we're going along with everything else. Our sacrifice is to put away the present world and walk with God. In James 1, verse 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you keep yourself unspotted from the world if you go along with everything that the world tells you to do? You can't do it, can you? It's like trying to go through a muddy pig pen without getting muddy. It just can't be done. And we have to look at that and we have to realize that this statement that society's society and we just got to conform to it, it doesn't agree with everything that we study. And if society is just society and we should go along with it, then how can we be spotted by the world if we're just doing what society says we should do? If that's what God would have us to do, then how could you ever be spotted by the world? If what he wanted from us in our lives was just to go along with it, we would be following what he said and we would never become spotted because that's what everyone else is doing. These ideas don't hold up under scrutiny when we compare them to the scriptures. As a matter of fact, they just don't make sense at all when you try to line them up with what God would have us to do with our lives. Second Peter 3, verses 13 and 14 says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. This tells us where our focus should be, and that what should be that it should be found of God, not of society, not of the majority, not of anything other than what God would have us to do. In Titus 2, verses 12 through 15, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. There's some very important teachings that go along with our topic tonight or this afternoon. This specifically tells us we should resist society when it tells us to go against God. Not to fall in line with it, not to line up with it. We need to resist it. And again, that doesn't mean we're going to change the world immediately. That means we keep ourselves unspotted from these things. Further, it tells us we will become a peculiar people in order to do this and let no one tell us otherwise. He expects us to be different. And when people look at us as a congregation, as a family, as an individual, something should be different from everything else that is seen in society. And in verse 12, it says in this present life, that means doing God's will was meant to be done now. And not that this is something to come in our future lives. It's something that we need to do now to resist those things. You know, unfortunately, when we talk about these social issues and they've become so prevalent in our lives. You know, in the past, you didn't have businesses coming out, standing up for ungodly things. It just didn't happen. And unfortunately, now, it's become more difficult. We've been blessed in this land for many, many years in that we had actually help from society shielding us from those things. You didn't have businesses and individuals of high stature coming out in support of those things for fear that, of course, they would be shamed. But now it's just the opposite. These people are coming forward with these ideas, and they're not just promoting these ideas. They're pushing them on everybody. And if you are thought not to go along with those things, you're called names, you're ridiculed, you're belittled, you're just not as smart as everyone else. And unfortunately, these things have been working. They've been working for the last 20 years. You know, if you go all the way back to the 60s, we know the things that happened during that time. The people of the 60s are now the ones running things in this country. And so the things they promoted when they were then, they're promoting now. But the point is, we've been blessed in this country to this point, and it's been easy to this point because these things were not forced on us. And now, more than ever, we need our faith. We need our faith in God to deliver us from those things. Because while it used to be easy, it won't be easy going forward. When you look at the changes that are going on, it won't be easy because all of that's being taken away. There are certain temptations that are put before us that were never allowed in society in the past. And now they're prevalent and they're big industries and they're all geared toward promoting those things and putting them into people's lives and creating big businesses out of those. You know, when in the past did you ever think that we'd have a society that felt like we were going to grow our economy on illicit drugs? Yet we see it every day that states are more than willing to take the money from those things. Going forward, it won't be as easy as it has been in the past. And I don't want this to be a lesson to where we're just negative about everything. I want us to know we're going to have to rely more than ever on our faith. And we need to grow our faith, and we need to do what's necessary to grow the faith of the congregation and to grow in these homes. You know, these societies don't work if we have strong homes. It just won't work. Because all of these things that are taught in society, they're revealed for what they are, and it's just a pack of lies. When we take those into our homes, we study them, we look at them, and we reveal it to our families that we're not going to be a part of this. This is how we are going to move forward. And that's how we combat against these things. So what do we do on all of these things? We definitely don't want to promote something that God would be against. I would never hope to be in that situation and have to answer to God how something that He condemned, I promoted. I would never hope to be in those shoes. You know, all of these things get really convoluted when we start listening to society and all of the spin and all of the words that people put out there to say, well, it's just society. We have to go along with it and things have changed. And so God, you know, religion has to change with it. Well, that doesn't match up with what God told me. We have to reveal those things for what they are. And while He never commanded us change this world, He did command us, you change yourself. You change your family. You change your congregation. And you build from there. You change as many people as you possibly can to save their soul from the deeds of this world. That's what I have prepared for this evening. I hope I've said something that's been helpful. I know a lot of these things are on a lot of our minds. And I really think that that's why we get so anxious about these things, is we just don't know what to do. These things are coming in a lot of ways. Hopefully some of them be staved off. You know, if we keep praying and it's in God's will, you know, He's in control of these things. Maybe we do miss some of this stuff. But if it does come, we need to know that we need to grow our faith and live with Him and live by what He tells us to in order to survive all of these things.